How's everybody doing today? That's good, that's good. Like Brother Harmon said, we should all be glad that we're here today and we are able to make it out. Because regardless of storm clouds is around, we can have safe haven in the house of God. So we should all be happy that we're here making it safely and sound, because there's people that don't even know they're alive today. And so we should be thankful that we just able just to say thank you, Heavenly Father. What I want to talk to you a little bit about is, today is, the topic I chose is, if you keep committing the same sin, are you insane? If you keep committing the same sin, are you insane? I'm not saying none of y'all are insane in here, so don't say I'm calling y'all crazy or insane. But if you keep on doing the same thing over and over, it's insanity.
It is.
So I ask you, if you keep committing the same sin and you say you know you're doing it, you got to ask yourself, are you really sane? Because God forgives you, but why keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again? Because at some point in life, you got to really think. They have a place called Patton Hospital down the hill where they keep people like that for a reason. But I would like to use two people in the Bible, David and Job. Because, and I'm gonna give you a little history lesson, because sometimes we need to know about the person that somebody is talking about. That's why I like to read the Bible. But see, David was picked by God, because Saul basically had did something to God that offended God. And Samuel grieved over this, because Samuel knew what God was about to do. He was about to leave Saul alone.
That's right.
And he grieved and grieved and grieved. But see, God already had a person in the bushes, which was David. And see, Saul was in torment. He needed somebody to come help him. So after Samuel got over grieving, he said, I know David, a young man who could play the lyre. And when David played the lyre, he comforted Saul. And in his comfort, he didn't know that David was already put in place to become king.
That's right.
See, God sets people in our life for certain reasons, which we don't know why. We shouldn't question it, nor should we fight it. Because regardless of what we're going to do, God's plan is going to work out regardless how we see it. We can fight, we can fuss. But that enemy that we don't like is the one that's God sitting there for a reason. Because when you go later on to read, Saul started to get a little understanding of this man's going to take over.
That's right.
So he plotted to kill him. He plotted to take his life. But you know what? What God set in place, can't no man tear apart.
That's right.
So even after he tried to kill him, because he was jealous. See, jealousy set in. Because when he went to go kill the Philistines, they came, oh, David, oh, David, oh, David. So he gets more jealous. But see, that didn't stop what God had set in plan. But see, David, listen, David was a great young man, understanding. But see, when David started to get a little bit older, like some of us do, he wanted to do David. Because when you read, let's turn over now to 2 Samuel verses chapter 11, verse 1. Once again, that's 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1. And see, David was on the right path. But then when David said, well, you know what? God has blessed me, so I need to have a little free time for myself. I need to let God go to the wayside and do how I feel. And sometimes in a church, we say, I need to do what I need to do and let it go to the wayside. I don't need to come to worship at all times. I don't need to bring other people. I don't need to let my light shine. That's what David was doing. We'll read verse 1. It says, in the spring of the year, the time when the kings go out to battle, David sent Joab, and his servant with him, and all of Israel. So David sent everybody away. He's premeditating what he's about to do. And they ravaged the Amalekites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It's like telling everybody in your house to go to church, but you want to stay there. Go ahead and go. I'll catch up to you later. Verse number 2. It happened one late afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. He's looking somewhere he's not even supposed to be. You supposed to be in church, but you at home. Now you done caught yourself up in something totally different. And then you want to get to church. What did I miss? Well, if you were there, you wouldn't have missed nothing. Continue on. And the woman was very beautiful. So he didn't even try to turn away. He's still looking. Now he wondering. And David sent and inquired about the woman. So now he even going a step further. I got a little power. I got a little money. So let me go send somebody to find out who she is. Because I done seen what I wanted. Now I want a little bit more. And one said, is this not Bathsheba? So they already telling David who she is before they go. The daughter of Elam, the wife of Uri the Hittite. So he's already having understanding. She's married. She has somebody. But guess what? God done brought me this far. Now it's time to do me. So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him. See, she was wrong just as David. Because what did she do? She left. She forgot about her husband. And she did what she wanted to do. She wanted to go out and do this. Because it just ain't one person, it's two people. So she went, and he laid with her. So they went, and they laid with one another. But see, David's not done sinning. David's just getting started. And the woman conceived, and she went and told David, I am pregnant. So she's gone and she's pregnant. But then when you get to verse 5, so David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out of the king's house, and there following him all the servants presented from King David. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants of the Lord and did not go to his house. So David was trying to pull the wool over the eyes. Yeah. Go sleep with your wife, because I know she's pregnant, but if you sleep with her, we can say it's your kid. That's crazy. But you know what? David didn't care about nobody but himself. We today in the church need to care more about each other than ourselves. Because when you get to the point of David, he try to cover up and cover up. We do the same thing. We try to cover everything up. Guess what? It's not a blanket big enough in this world to cover it up. Because eventually a hole gonna poke through it and something gonna come out. And then you're gonna be exposed. So David thought by sending him down there to do this. So David know he couldn't do that. But further on in the story, he puts him on the front line to have him killed. See, because David knew what he did was wrong, but he tried to have a cop out and excuse. Yeah. Same with us when we leave for church. We try to have a cop out and excuse why not to get there. We need to really start thinking about it. Because David continued to sin and David continued to do it. But see, it was the people that was kept around about David too. Because when you turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, that's again 1 Kings chapter 1. And we're going to read 1 through 4. Because it says, now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he did not get warm. David is starting to fade away. Therefore, if his servant said to him, let a young woman who sought, let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in his arms, that the Lord, the king, may be warned. So what did they go do? The people that was around him, instead of saying, you know what, this is not right, they go and seek a woman for him to lay with, because they knew what David was about. So you got to have somebody that's going to be willing to stand up for God and say, you know what, I'm going to stand up for God regardless what you think about me. I'm going to stand firm on his word. Because if you don't stand firm on his word, you're just as guilty as David. You're just as guilty as the people you helping out. Because at some point in time in your life, you need to make an understanding that, guess what? I'm a true servant of God, not of this world. But when you go on to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 8, David wasn't sober-minded. David was caught up in his own self. Because in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So when you're trying to glorify this flesh, it has an insatiable appetite. It is hungry. It will not stop eating. I don't know if y'all familiar with Sesame Street, with Cookie Monster. You give Cookie Monster 1,000 cookies and he kept on eating. Give me cookies, give me cookies, give me cookies. That's the same thing with the flesh. Give me sin, give me sin, give me sin. And if you can't understand this, that you need to cut this flesh off and put it in the back seat and put the Spirit in the front seat, we'll never get it. We'll still do the same thing over and over. When I was a kid, I'd be like, I don't see where Cookie Monster putting all these cookies. But he can eat. Same thing with sin. How long is it going to take us to get it right to stop doing the same sin? How long is it going to take us to work together? How long is it going to take us to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Let me get it right. Because when you come before that judgment, there's no going back and say, Lord, give me one more chance. Lord, please let me go back and say sorry to them. Let's also look at 1 Peter chapter 4. That's 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 7. And we're going to read verse 7 and 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. In order to get your prayers in your head right, you have to be sober-minded. You can't have a clouded judgment. You can't be sitting there talking about, Lord, bless me, when you got a bottle in your hand and drunk as a skunk. It says sober-minded. And when you sober-minded, you can get things right with God. But see, when you get a clouded mind, it's not going to be right. It can't be right. It's always going to be something there clouding your judgment. That's why the Bible says sober-minded. And verse 11, whoever speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory, domain, forever. Amen. So we're supposed to speak as the oracles. When we show love to one another, it's supposed to be that agape love, not that philly-philly touchy love, that real love that God shows us all the time. Regardless how we think, look, and act, God still loves us. Because he said, I will rain on the just as well as the unjust. So God loves us all. He just wants us all to get it right. But see, we understand where David came from. David was a man that wanted to please himself. But see, when you look at Job, who we're going to talk about now, Job wanted to please God. Because you understand about Job, Satan was going to and fro. But God said, have you considered my servant Job? I ask you today, can God say the same about you today? Because it needs to be real in your life. If Satan's still going today in this earth, can God come and say, have you considered my servant Jeremiah? we all got to ask ourselves this question. We all have to be ready for this. Because see what Job went through, he went through some terrible things. But see, one thing I like about Job is that Job stuck by God. Because Satan went as far as taking his kids, his livelihood, everything. But God said, do not take his life, because he had this hedge around him. And when you got this hedge around you, God gonna protect you. And that's what Satan recognized. He said, remove it. And you know what Satan did? He kept going to God. And God said, you know what? I know Job not gonna break. So do everything but take his life. So Job had sores and everything put on him. But then see, they came back to the woman. And see, my wife say, don't bring her up or don't say anything, but I can't preach something that's fake and phony. I have to preach what's real. I have to preach what's now. Because if I get up here and give you some slop, it's not gonna work out. You want some sirloin steak. You want some T-bone. You want something that you can really eat and understand. And even when it comes to my wife, I have to have understanding and patience, and vice versa. She has to have understanding and patience with me too. And so what Job did with his wife, when you read Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. See, because she knew if Job cursed God, the punishment was right then and there. He would have been slain right then and there. But see, when you go to verse 10, this is where you get that patience. This is where you get that understanding, either with your significant other or anybody that you deal with in your personal life. It says, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Should we not receive good from God? And should we not see evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So regardless what you think, you got to accept the good with the bad. You can't come up here and say, well, God, why am I going through this? God, why is my money looking funny? God, why can't I get to church because I have no vehicle? We always questioning God, but we never saying, God, thank you that I can walk. God, thank you I can get around. God, thank you I can just say, thank you, Jesus. If you go to that hospital right there at Victor Valley and you walk through there, I think when you come out, you'll be a lot more thankful than what you are doing now. Like I said, it's the little things in life that we need to appreciate, people. There's people overseas that if they say God or anything, they are executed right there on the spot. And we complain about over here in America. Amen. When we got the freedom to do what we want.
Amen.
But yet, all we do is grumble and complain. You know, it reminds me of the Israelites. Amen. We was better off with Pharaoh. That's what they said. And then when God gave them manna, they was greedy and wanted to take it all. And he said, I'm going to take enough just to feed you for today. Well, we don't know if you're going to come back, God, so we just going to store it up. We don't want to be in that same predicament. We don't, people. We want to be able to be like Job. Because when Job, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Job understood what it meant to be patient. Job understood what it meant to have a wife too. Job chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their term. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? So it's always better to have another there. But it's always better when I got my wife to lay next to and be warm with. See, I don't want to be like David, looking around everywhere, getting distracted and everything else. Because sin is sin, people. Let's get it right. So you know what? I look at my wife and say, she's the most beautiful thing in the world. I don't care if Janet Jackson, anybody walked through those doors, because I decided to get married. And that's what people need to understand. Nobody forced you to that altar. It has to be something that we both agreed on, which we did. So you know what? She tell me you fine as wine, and I'd be like, thank you. With age, it only get better. So when I understand my wife, I understand what it means to have her, just like Job understood it, we have no problem. But let's look at James chapter 5. And when you go over to James chapter 5, that's James chapter 5, verse 7. Brother Henry, can you read that if you have it? James chapter 5, verse 7.
Okay, this is from the NIV. It says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near.
Okay, thank you. When you read that, it says, be patient, therefore, brother, until the coming of the Lord. Has God came back, anybody, people, yet? We still waiting, right?
Right.
So are we not supposed to still maintain this patient attitude?
Yes.
We supposed to maintain it through anything we go through. Because if you can't maintain it, then something's wrong. Because even the farmer got to wait. The farmer can go and say, you better grow corn. That corn ain't going to do nothing. It's still going to have to go through the seasons. It's going to have to get to the point where it grows and you can pluck it. So in our life, we need to be patient, because we're waiting, it says, until the coming of the Lord. But then let's go down to verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brother, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And it don't mean because I'm standing by this door, I'm a judge. It don't mean because somebody is at the back door, they're a judge. God is the judge. But see, what you have to understand is you have to show this love to everybody in this building. But not everybody in this building, everybody on the outside. Because what it says, do not grumble. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. Let's stop bickering against one another. Let's start showing love to one another. And when you can understand that, you'll be okay. Matthew 5, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 23. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Because when you grumble against somebody, and then you try to go to God and say, God, please bless me so I'm able to get to church, so I can have a vehicle, so I can have a job, so I can have this and that. Because see, when you're without, you come to church on time. You here helping out and everything else because God, you wait for God's blessing. And then as soon as God bless you with that good job or that fine car or everything, well, God, thank you. I'm going to put you on the back burner just like David did. I can slack up on coming to church now because I got what I want from you. But see, you know what? If it happened once, it can happen again, people. God can take that good job from you. God can take that car from you. And then where are you going to be? Back at square one. Lord, I didn't mean to do it. Please help me. You could have been in church just like you were when you didn't have it. And you still would have got your blessing. But see, when you don't do that, let's look at verse 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember, and there remember that your brother has something against you. It says, if you about to pray to God and you remember something coming in your head saying somebody has something against you, it don't read the other way around. It says that your brother has something against you. That's from the Bible. So if somebody has something against you, it says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled. Reconciliation means coming back to get to that friendship spot, coming back to where y'all was at first. Be first reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. But see, we take it as a game. I ain't gonna speak to them if they don't speak to me. Whatever it is, whatever it be, we not following the scripture, people. We following what we want from the scripture. And like I always say, it's messed up gumbo nobody want to eat. You got to keep it. I can't mix gumbo and be like, oh, it's some soup and gumbo. No. Either I'm going to make seafood gumbo, some meat gumbo or something like that, but I can't all just throw it all together and say, oh, I got gumbo today. It doesn't work out that way, people. We need to start getting it right with one another. Even as it started in our household, we need to start getting it right. Because that's what Job understood. Because let's go back to Job, because see, Job kept his wife. To me, I'm understanding that Job stayed with his wife, because even through everything they went to, it mentions Job's wife. But you gotta search the books to understand this, because in chapter 19, verses 17, it says, and this is Job talking about what he's going through. When you start at verse 16, it says, I call to my servant, but he gives me no answer. I must plead with him with my mouth for mercy, for my breath is strange to my wife, and I am a stench to the children of my own mother. So that's letting you know Job still was with his wife. Even his brothers and sisters weren't around Job. But you know what? God never left Job. God was there the whole entire time. See, husband and wife, she might do what she want to do. I might do what I want to do. But if we keep our eye on God, we're going to stay together forever. Amen. That's what we have to understand, people. If we keep our eyes on God in this whole congregation, in this church, we're going to complain about who here or who not here. You know what we'll do? We're going to call them and say, can I come get you for church? Not, well, what happened to you last week, brother or sister? You okay? Go on and give me the scoop so I can run my mouth. We're going to ask them, what can I do to help you to get here next week? You know what? After church, I'm going to take you out to get a meal. We need to have that attitude about not being concerned what's going on in somebody's life, but concerned what's going on in their spiritual life. We get enough of that on Jerry Springer and everything else that come on TV. We need to focus on the spiritual being and not the personal being. Like I said, I guarantee you, when we go home, you can see enough drama. Driving to church and driving home. We need to really focus on how we're going to get to heaven. How can we help the people that are just been baptized in a church? I don't need to know a background check on them. I don't need to be nosy. I need to figure out what's going to get them to do more in the church by me doing more in the church. Amen. Live by example. But see, when you go to the later parts of Job, and I'm almost done, because I know it's almost time. But when you get to the later part of Job, Job's friends had even told Job he was wrong. When you look at Job 42, verse 7, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eplaza the termite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends. So God's anger was against them because what they were telling Job. That's why I say the company you keep, people, you need to really watch, because they'll discourage you. You go out Saturday night, you got to be at church on Sunday. My dad always told me, boy, don't do nothing on Saturday because you need to prepare yourself for Sunday morning service. Right. He tell me all the time, don't call me on Saturday. Call me Monday. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to talk to me. Because why am I going to try to play, going out to the club, get home at 2:00 in the morning, and then expect to get here on time? I'm going to be sleeping everything else. But yet I can't give God his just due. And that's only speaking about one day, people. But see, when you go back, it burned because of them. But see, Job being a good friend, this is what Job does. It says, my anger burns against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. But when you go down, now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourself, and my servant Job shall pray for you. The ones you're doing wrong is the ones that you probably need to pray for you. Because that's what he told them. For I will accept his prayers not to deal with you according to your folly, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has done. The only reason why they was going to get blessed is because of who? Job. The ones that you think I don't need to talk to is cutting your blessings short. The ones that you don't think you need to deal with is getting your blessings cut short. Because if it wasn't for Job, God was about to deal with them. God was about to let them know, You don't talk about me like that. But Job was up and right. He lived a perfect life. So I ask you today, if you keep committing the same sin, are you insane? If you keep acting the same way, are you insane? Because like I said, I lived by Patton Hospital for many of years. I know somebody that worked there, so if you need to go take a visit, it'll be free of charge. We really need to stop and wake up, church, and start living how Christians are supposed to live. To show love to one another. And to say, you know what? Whatever has been done, you ain't even got to bring it up, because then that's going to start an argument. I love you in spite of. Let's get to rolling. This is a new year. We got time to make amends. Ain't nobody died. We alive. We ain't had death come here. We need to start realizing this, people. He ain't preached no sermon over none of us that's here. We all have our health and our strength. We all have understanding of what the Bible speaks and says. So if you want to come and ask for forgiveness for anything, you ain't got to come up here and explain, well, on Tuesday morning I seen sister so-and-so. Just say, forgive me. Just say, whatever I've done, whoever I've offended. And then I'll be a step in the right place, in the right way. Because Job friends have to ask for forgiveness. They have to do sacrifices. Let's get it right, people. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. So if I've done anything to anybody, forgive me. If I have not done my job as a man, forgive me. Because it's serious, people. We could take it and say, well, I got next week. You might not make it till next week. If you need to be baptized, you can do it today. It don't take that long. If you know you're living in sin, there's a way that you don't have to live in sin anymore.
Amen.
Like I said, there's a better way. A more greater way. I thank y'all for your time. Thank you. Amen.